Wake up.
Thank you.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at
97.3. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Wow. This day's getting away from us. We must be having fun because we're starting so late.
Yeah.
We have a big announcement to make. Vinny, do you want to take any more final guesses?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally have zero ideas. Mm. The one thing I thought it could be, you said no. And I went, all right.
That's
I have no idea.
So we actually, because we're off on Friday, that's when our Thanksgiving vacation starts. So we had to cut some words for that, I guess, because we are doing this every hour. Tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone.
I do remember that. In fact, part of the reason I mentioned Post Malone with, who did we play yesterday?
Oh, Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, Dwight Yoakam. I'm a fan. I have his old records. I don't know why I can never remember his name. I come up with 10 D's and not the right one.
Derek's Bentley.
But whatever. I brought up that song because I knew that he was coming and it's Jelly Roll and it's country. And it's like, wow, this guy is a country dude now.
Mm.
And he did a country set at Outside Lands.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a country album, F1 Million. Right? Isn't that what it's called? Jelly Roll and Post Malone. Jelly Roll and Post Malone together at Oracle Park. So here it is. Tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone go on sale Friday at noon. But you can win a pair right now by texting the word BEAUTIFUL, BEAUTIFUL, to 20357. Text BEAUTIFUL right now to be entered to win tickets for Jelly Roll and Post Malone July 1st at Oracle Park, courtesy of Live Nation. This hour's code word is BEAUTIFUL. And we are doing this all day long. You have so many chances to win these tickets before you can even buy them. You can't buy them until Friday at noon. It's a big deal. Jelly Roll and Post Malone. There you go. There's your big announcement. It's pretty big. That's a biggie. Okay, let us begin with, we're in the weeds with the Diddy stuff. Some of this stuff is so dumb. However, he is a bad guy. And we're going to talk about this stuff because some of it, I'm like, okay, that's just weird enough that maybe he did do that. There have been a lot of allegations against this guy. And most of them are just disgusting, right? You hear him and you're like, it's heinous. I don't want to hear more. These parties sound awful. He's a terrible person. He's a nightmare. If you're in his circle, you're not in a good place. But this one is just weird. So in 1999, there was a club shooting that they say this guy Shine took the fall for him. That the word on the street, you know, as close to the street as I ever get, is that Diddy shot this guy. And that everyone looked at him and he looked at them and he went, that guy did it. And Shine went, yeah, okay, I did it, fine. But then Shine went to jail and he's like, nah, I didn't do it. So people have always claimed that Diddy was the real shooter, and Shine has always maintained that he didn't shoot anybody. He was just the fall guy. So there is actually a documentary on Hulu called The Honorable Shine.
Mm.
And it includes this story from one of Diddy's former bodyguards. Listen, that's dangerous, you know, to tell stories about Diddy. But this one's just so weird. Diddy was on his way to court to find out if he would be convicted on charges related to the shooting that he says Shine did, but everybody thinks Diddy did. So he's freaking out. He's headed to court. He has his driver stop in Central Park where a man is waiting for him. Diddy gets out of the car, drops to his knees in front of this guy who apparently burned sage around him, then opened a Bible, placed his hands on Diddy and started praying. And then it got weirder. The guy produces a cage with a white dove in it. Diddy grabs the bird from the cage, throws it in the air, and it drops to the ground dead. This is all according to the former bodyguard, who I guess is sitting in the car or is standing there as all the sage is being burnt and the Bible verses are being read. And
the bird alive to begin with?
He says the bird was alive. He's saying it was the cage. There's a bird. Diddy reaches in, throws the bird into the air. Bird falls dead to the ground. Like a stone.
Oof. That's some bad mojo.
Right? Then Diddy goes to court and finds out he's been acquitted on all charges.
Mm.
So there's maybe something to it.
Some good motive.
Very voodoo, you know? So I don't know. Did he sacrifice a bird? Did he squeeze the life out of a bird in order to save him? Like, what? I don't even know. Like, why do you even tell this story? Like, this is just the weirdest.
510 says, if you remember, right after that shooting, J-Lo left Diddy.
Mm-hmm. I think, don't they say she was there?
I don't know.
That's who I really want to come clean on all this stuff. Like, she knows a lot. Like, she was with Diddy for a couple years.
Who was yelling in the news? I only saw it as a... There's so many clickbait stories on the internet that half of them I just have to keep going by because I feel like a sucker when I finally click on it. And then the picture they're telling you is there isn't even there. And you're like, what am I doing?
Right. Why am I getting cookies
from
all these other places?
But one of the stories is that somebody saying J-Lo could have saved a lot of people if she'd been upfront about who this dude is.
Right.
She was on the inside. She was there. And then she just walked off and never said a word about who he is or what. Oh, 510 says J-Lo was there.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah. It was 1999 and it was outside of a club and she was there.
I wonder if J-Lo was afraid. Like it's all because I really like her. Like she seems lovely. But of course I don't know her at all. But I feel like I'm with you. If she could have saved people, like I think that he probably didn't do some of this stuff in front of her. Like, there's no. How does a normal person, anybody remotely normal, see what this guy is doing, some of the really bad allegations, and go, yeah, I'm okay with that? Like, who would that person be? They're awful. They're like henchmen of this guy. But then she sees him shoot somebody, and she goes, I need to leave because I'm going to get shot. Like, this guy might actually kill me.
Well, I do think there's... How do I explain this? There are times you can find yourself in a place where dangerous people show up and your move is to leave. Mm-hmm. This is not a time to call 911 and say, I believe gang members have just entered our party, our keg party. So we need you to come bust the thing. No, mm-hmm. You just go, I'm out of here.
I don't know
where this is going, but I'm not hanging.
I'm not going with it.
So maybe J-Lo's move was, look, I'm a star on the rise, and what I don't need is any of this
right. Anywhere
near me. And then didn't think to, you know, circle back and go, by the way.
It does. I know. I feel like that's, to me, okay, fine. So she was, in 1999, she was absolutely, we knew her, but she was only just becoming who she is now. I mean, it was 25 years ago. You know, she's 10 times the star that now.
So a couple of weird things about that case.
Okay.
So they left the club and there was a police chase through New York and then they found the gun in the car with Diddy and J-Lo.
And was Shine in that car?
I don't know if Shine was in it, but they did say that they tried to bribe the driver to say it was his gun for $50,000 and he didn't do it. But evidently one of the people that was shot in the face. And still has a piece of the bullet in her face. And she said she's willing to have it removed because she claims Diddy's the one that shot her. You know, but.
Oh, she's saying that?
Yeah.
And this guy wasn't in trouble for it?
No.
He was acquitted because he squeezed that bird to death.
Yeah. Her quote is, who better to tell you what happened than the person who got shot smack dab between the eyes?
And she lived.
And she lived.
Yeah, everybody lived in the shooting. It was, but yeah.
Which is probably the only reason that he did walk. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't understand how, it feels like there are two classes of people. There's all of us who, like, you know, the cops pick us up and we're like, oh no, what? You think of every bad thing you ever did. And then there's Diddy who's, you know, or these people who are like, talk to my lawyer. Like, I'm cool as a cucumber and I didn't shoot that guy. That guy did. And the guy next to him goes, yeah, all right, I did it.
707 is saying she was on the stand and perjured herself in that shooting. I don't know if that's true.
What do you mean? Like that she said it wasn't Diddy?
I don't know anything about this case. I'm telling you what a texter is sending in.
So here's the thing. This sort of goes into the next story that I have about Diddy, because I do feel like you're at a club. people seem to know, like it's talked about all the time, that Diddy is the one who shot this person. And that this guy, Shine, there's a documentary about this guy who's always denied that he did this. So it's fear. People are afraid that this guy will come and kill them. And they say that the feds just raided his jail cell, Diddy's jail cell, and stole a bunch of stuff. Like Diddy's lawyer says the feds broke into his
jail cell
and stole his stuff that should have been covered under the attorney-client privilege. Well, it sounds like it's a bunch of threatening blackmail letters that he's sending to people.
206 says, J-Lo was interrogated for 14 hours after the brief chase that the police were in with Diddy's vehicle. The rumor was that she was holding the gun for him that night. There's even a lot in order that is a complete takeoff of the shooting.
Oh, the Law and Order. It's got to be a Law and Order.
And Kerry Washington is the female star. The driver takes the fall in that as well. So they did a Law and Order send-up of it. Funny.
So
I mean, not funny, but you know what I mean.
Not funny at all. Like, I know. How is this? Like, this guy is just, you just don't know how these people escape justice for so long. Like, I think of Michael Jackson. Like, this is a guy, I do know how they do it. Money, threats,
fear.
Guns, fear. Sean Diddy Combs was planning to blackmail and bribe potential witnesses in sex trafficking case, according to the feds, who went and stole things out of a guy's prison cell. That these were jailhouse notes. A suddenly called hearing. I think this is happening today. Yeah, because the date on the story is yesterday. A suddenly called hearing that I think is happening today could prove a vital point for next year's trial. They're talking about him making relentless efforts to pay off potential witnesses, making non-permitted outside calls, trying to shut down other potential witnesses. And they're saying that they went in and grabbed all this stuff out of it. And there were like notes about who we can blackmail, who we can pay money to. Please lock this guy up and throw away the keys. He's awful. And everybody affiliated with him, all these people who covered for him. Ah! How is he still walking around? Well, he's not.
He's in jail.
But still, though, like even the judge is like, yeah, we can't let him out because he's going to go murder witnesses. Ugh. And the fact that he has people on the outside who are like, yeah, I'll do that for him. That's my dude.
Like, you know what I haven't heard yet?
Divorce the dude.
He seems like his own thing because he doesn't, that I know of, have gang affiliation.
I don't know.
Like
I know a lot of those guys do.
We know that, I believe, actually, I don't know, but I think it was Tupac was a Blood and Snoop was a Crip, and they've got these affiliations.
Right.
I don't know how that works, whether they're out and they get to just be cool because they're superstars or they're still somehow affiliated and, you know, the gang gets 10% of their earnings.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
What was the thing with Tekashi 6ix9ine? Didn't he, like, invite actual gang members to come down and be in a video, and they took one look around and went, you're ours now.
I thought they were his security.
Well, I think
and then they took him.
Okay. And then they were like, yeah, no, you're not running this show anymore. You don't run us. We're the gang.
Right. Something like
goon.
That.
Right. Yeah. He sort of accidentally got into problems with them, and then he snitched. So now he spends all his money on security. He was just recently in trouble for something else, too. I'm like, dude, you know, move to Montana. Like, go somewhere safe.
How do you walk around in Montana with 69 tattooed all over you?
Makeup, I guess. I don't know. Maybe wear a balaclava at all times. Like, I don't know. It just feels like you're done, dude. Get out of there.
I don't know.
Anyway, there's that.
But I mean, Montana.
Wherever. Someplace that isn't, you know, filled with gangs and violence and get out of LA at least. I don't know where to go, Vin. I don't know we're safe anymore.
Go to Santa Cruz.
Yeah, go to, you know, it's super laid back in Santa Cruz.
The checker at the grocery is like, this is a very horny young man. He's got 6ix9ine all over him.
Yeah. Well, I do like 6ix9ine, so.
Who doesn't?
I don't know, there's people who don't like it.
I love it. I'm a big fan.
Okay, I'm just going to squeeze in a couple more little notes here. Beyonce is your Christmas halftime show.
What?
Beyonce is your Christmas halftime show for the NFL. She is going to be performing songs from Cowboy Carter for the first time live at the NFL Christmas halftime show. It's the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. And she's from Houston. And the game is in Houston. So it actually kind of makes it like she might even be in Houston celebrating Christmas. I have no idea.
Those are really good games. What week is that? Let me look at this.
I don't know.
That's
week
the
14
week.
Or something?
Okay. Week 17.
Oh, boy. How many weeks are there now?
There's 17 games. So there's 18 weeks because you've got one bye.
Oh, right.
Let me see on the 20th.
And then there's playoffs.
Oh, my God. So Kansas City at Pittsburgh at 10 a.m. This is all on Netflix.
Wow. Everybody
Baltimore at Houston, 1:30, Netflix. So Christmas again, and if they saw 60 million for that janky fight, they're going to see 100 million for these football games on Christmas.
Right. Yeah, the Steelers are good, so that's going to be a
good
game.
They are a good game. Yeah, both of those games are good. Baltimore, Houston, those are all highly ranked teams on Christmas Day.
So
Beyonce, Netflix is better. Figure it out. Netflix, you're in Los Gatos. You better sort yourselves out.
You don't want your, hashtag loading.
Buffering.
Right, buffering. This is going to be the first time that Beyonce has ever performed songs from her country album, Cowboy Carter, live. She announced the news with a post on Twitter that it's very dramatic.
So are you saying in between the two games or at halftime of one of the games?
Halftime of the Ballmer. Houston game.
At Houston, right? Yeah. Okay, I see.
So I put the post up. It's on Twitter, so it doesn't post like a preview, but it's on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, and it's just I think I said, "Oh my God, the drama," something like that. So if you want to check that out, she's standing up on this car that's covered in roses, and she's dressed up like in the Cowboy Carter get up, and she's all like badass. She's Beyonce the whole time. So, and they also say, Variety saying that she's going to bring out some special guests from the album to join her. You got Willie, Dolly. There's also Shaboozy, Post Malone, Miley Cyrus, all on her record. So it should be a pretty good show on Christmas Day. And I'm out of time, Ben. What's coming up?
How about a Skillcation?
What?
Wake up.
Thank you. With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Tickets for Alice in Winterland all this week at 5:05 in the afternoon with Janie. Listen for a code word and you can win tickets in the first five rows to our sold out Alice in Winterland, courtesy of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 in theaters on December 20th. Today it's fourth row tickets. By Friday, you're in the front row. Alice in Winterland, featuring One Republic, Andy Grammer, and Haven Madison, December 13th at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, sponsored by Macy's. And congrats to Megan from Alameda. She won front row tickets last week.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Jack's. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, in San Bruno, San Mateo, Newark, and their new spot in Cantina Jack's. Their new spot, Cantina Jack's, in Pleasant Hill. Enjoy fantastic food and great vibes. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Jack's. You're going to love it.
Jack's. I already do. Mm.
Okay, so here's what's happening. Some clouds today, and it'll be chilly in the high 50s. Highs in the 50s. So what we're looking at weather-wise right now, let me see if I can find my story that now I can't find. What the bleep?
Computers, they're the best.
No, I had it all set up and I moved onto my tag and now I don't have it. Oh, there it is. Okay. The first atmospheric river storm of the season is forecast to slam into Northern California starting Wednesday. This will kickstart our rainy season.
Yay. Tomorrow. Enjoy today, everybody.
This is the rainiest weather we'll have seen in 9 months, they say. The bullseye of the system could still waver, but is expected to hit around Guerneville.
Oh.
They're expecting possibly by Sunday up to 9 inches of rainfall at the Russian River.
That is bad. The Russian River floods.
Mm-hmm.
That is
why I'm mentioning
not
it.
Not awesome. Doesn't our friend down the hall have a Guerneville place?
He does.
Yeah. I'm sure they're battening down the hatches.
Some people in my family have places in Guerneville. Mm. I mean, they're little cabins, but yeah. That's their spot.
Right.
A few big storms could make or break the water year, and they say this one's looking like it's setting up to be a big kickstart for the winter. So big storm headed our way. The storm door opens on Wednesday, but it's going to vary depending on where you're at, what right. we'll get. So there's that.
Make sure your gutters are clear. Get the leaves out of them.
What is a skillcation? Is a question that when I mentioned it, you said, oh, great. I got to learn something on vacation. And while I understand that you have a lot of hobbies.
Yes.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that I only have dated girls. So, and I have guy friends that do things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not necessarily running into dudes with no hobbies, but I have run in and dated girls who are like, no. I mean, I like to shop. Does that count? No. Mm. I like to party. I mean, I guess, but it like things that you do that fulfill you.
Right.
Like that's,
and it can really, truly, I feel like if you're an avid reader that you could count that maybe as a hobby.
Absolutely
like
you
I,
could. There's
I love
lots.
To take a book with me. I go walk to a park and I sit down and I read a book or whatever.
But this might be for you. Now, the funny thing about a skillcation is, and again, this is a vacation where you go and you learn a skill. You yeah. get some kind of new hobby by the end of the vacation, whether that's horseback riding, which I could see someone wanting sure. to go do. Why not?
They have dude ranch vacations that are freaking awesome. Like they assign you a horse and you round up the little doggies by the end of the week.
I've certainly, through my own experiences, come to the conclusion that I will expose my girls to as many possible things
so
that they have a well-rounded idea of what things, what they like, what they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully as they become older, they'll latch on to the thing that they find that were, you know, is for them.
Right.
Or hopefully a bunch of things that are for them.
So what are some of these skillcation things I can sign up for?
So what they're talking about here, and oh, what I was going to say is probably the people who will do this are the ones that have already a bunch of hobbies. The ones that have yes. no hobbies will be like, I don't want it. I don't want it. So it's probably
that's me.
For not.
I have like zero hobbies and I don't want to. I wouldn't go to
you
that.
Have a hobby. You hunt.
That's not a, I don't.
Kind of is.
You're going
a
on a hunting vacation.
I know, but I think a hobby is something you do regularly. Like I don't have anything I do regularly. I play tennis once a week, but that's it.
Okay,
that's
tennis.
That's one hobby.
It's, yeah. What about sure. your bike riding? You don't do that anymore?
I haven't done that in a very long time.
What about home decorating? You love decorating and painting things.
Eh, it's not something I do every day.
Mm-hmm. Skillcations are vacations centered around learning, reflecting. Like, let me see what they're suggesting here. Because they have a bunch of them in this this article, by the way, is the HuffPost. So they're just talking about whether it be a cooking vacation.
Uh-huh.
They even mentioned...
That's fun.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah.
Knitting your way around Iceland.
That's what I did when I went to Iceland. You know, you walk into like the Wawa of Iceland, just like a little store, and they've got a yarn rack right there. I was like, then I'll take that ball of yarn. What? Just wool from Iceland. Isn't that crazy?
Well, they just have... I thought, you know what? These are things that if you're out there and you don't have a hobby and you find yourself looking at vacation time when you're off work and you're just dreading how you're going to fill those, you got to find, there's so many wonderful, beautiful things to do in this world.
Yeah.
Everything from like reading a book.
On a beach in a hammock with a
you know,
Mai Tai.
I admit, I definitely as a young man pursued certain hobbies and still love them to this day. But I'd love to go golfing more. I just don't have time.
You know, John and I, we have this whole thing where we moved to Vermont, right? And we're like, we would do these couples weekends. And this is going to be very sexist, all right? Because I was like, you know what I'd love to do is I'd love to have a big workshop and have girls come for the weekend. Because there are these things like Tino is always trying to get, my sister is always trying to get me on these things where you go and you go to a ladies' sewing weekend and everybody sews and you learn to put in zippers and special tips and tricks and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and the girls, well, we'll all crochet and we'll we'll sew things. And John's like, yeah, and I'm going to have like a bobcat and a bulldozer and piles of sand. And the guys are all going to do that. And we're going to play
piles of sand.
Just whatever. We're going to have people digging and just using large equipment. And then he's going to have like golf stalls. You ever seen those where you're actually looks like you're hitting into a video?
Screen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to have five of those. And then the guys are all
five.
Yeah. Cause we're having a, you know, couples weekend. So all the
you
girls
could make
go.
Everybody share one. I mean five of them. My goodness.
Well, you know, we're going high end here.
He shared here are some of the examples of skillcations: cheese making in Switzerland, meditation and mindfulness in India, flamenco dancing in Spain, glacier research expeditions in Iceland, ecotourism guide training in Costa Rica, dry stone walling in Wales, ice sculpting in China. They have these incredible...
Some of these are labor intensive.
Well, you know, if you're sitting there looking at a week off and thinking, the boredom's going to kill me, then this is a possible option for you.
Right.
Mm. Consider it.
Yeah.
I've never felt that, like looking at a week of time off and thought, how will I? But I know there are people who are, or who do.
I mean, for a lot of people, their entire day is eaten up by their job and their kids. And so when they do have downtime, I'm actually surprised to hear that they don't just want to sit on a beach. But there is a pull to having a hobby. There's a nice thing about, like, even when I'm hardly ever just watching TV, I reach over, I grab my yarn bag and I continue to make the hat I'm making or what. It's a lovely thing to do with your hands. It's just something to do.
Right.
I think this is interesting, but I agree with you. I think people with hobbies will do this and the people without hobbies are like, yeah, I'm pretty much putting all my effort in at work. I'm going to go sit on a beach.
Well, watch Netflix.
They might also be like, I don't have the money for that. And look, okay, I understand that can be
prohibitive.
Flamenco in Spain. I got
you.
I don't have the money for that either. Although I probably could if I thought
I'll just go on a paella tour in Spain.
But you can also, if this isn't for you, here's a suggestion. YouTube can teach you anything, whatever it is whatever it is you think you might want to learn. There's a way to get started for free.
Yep. That's
just a suggestion from your friends over here.
Hi.
A 17-year-old in California named Sophia Park just became the youngest person to pass the state's bar exam.
How old did you say?
17.
Oh, so she's brilliant.
They say here in the story that there she is. 17-year-old passes the bar exam 1 year after her brother reached the same goal. She got to it earlier or sooner than he did, so she's now the youngest person. Passing the bar, 17. That's a high school kid.
Yeah.
Can now go lawyer. Sophia Park, congratulations. I don't know.
I mean, maybe you're just doing some grunt work, right?
Nah, I don't know. I mean,
right. Still, off to a great start. Way to go, Sophia. All the mothers of the other kids at the school you go to, they're all very jealous.
I do wonder if you don't just put that on the shelf and then keep doing other things.
Right.
And you go, yeah, I'm a lawyer, but I also am
only
17.
I'm going to go on a hobby tourism thing.
I'm 17.
Skillscation.
Like, it's a good time to relax. Right.
It does feel like, what are you doing? You're only young once.
The State Bar of California proudly congratulates Sophia Park on passing the California bar exam at just 17 years old.
Incredible.
And her brother is, you know, a year and something older than her, and he passed it like she beat him by a couple months.
That's the smartest kids ever. Did you say what town these kids are from?
Let me see. Tulare County.
Tulare County.
Here in California.
All right. Our research department's on it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I know that doesn't.
Yeah. Like, is that like Bakersfield or, you know, Fresno?
It sounds like a place I passed doing 90. I mean, 60.
It encompasses a lot of Sequoia National Park. It's outside of Fresno.
Oh.
Boom.
Okay. Growing up there in the fresh air with the trees.
A guy in Georgia named Dylan Betts was driving home. How's my time? Good. Was driving home from work last month when he saw a house on fire.
Uh-oh.
So we go and join. Oh, I got to click around. Give me just a second. Here it is. Winterville man was pulled out of a burning home by a perfect stranger.
Oh, my.
This guy, The homeowner says he's lucky to be alive after a total stranger helped pull him to safety out of his burning house. Now, I hate to say, but David McConnell was taking an afternoon nap when he noticed an odd sound coming from the kitchen. I heard popping and snapping and crackling, he said, but I didn't think anything of it and went back to sleep. I'm holding, for the record, I'm holding my temples right now in shock. You heard popping and crackling and snapping from the kitchen.
But you're all, what could that possibly be?
Like Rice Krispies.
I thought it would just go away, he said, but it didn't.
Well, sometimes when you're sleeping, you're like, please leave me alone, popping and snapping and crackling.
A midday nap.
It's probably just someone eating Rice Krispies in there.
Then the fire alarm went off, he says. This is the guy in the house. Snapping and crackling and popping. Then the fire went, that got me out of bed. Oh, that got you out of bed. Okay. No. He said, still groggy, he opened his bedroom door and his house was on fire. It was pretty scary.
I'm sure it was. You're telling me he was in a bedroom with the door closed and he could hear some going on down in the kitchen
The, build of the house. I have no idea, but you're
really
right.
Really weird.
Again, you know, the people with hobbies will be the ones that take the skillcation, and the person who, like, are you kidding?
I'm just so tired. I need to lay, it's the middle of the day.
I hear
just
a noise in
down.
My house like that. I get up and look. I don't, but that's why I don't sleep.
Right.
I'm good if I get 4 hours. It's a miracle.
Any sound I can't immediately identify, I get out of bed and look.
Right. This guy rolls over.
Unless I'm in bed with John, I'd be like, go find out what that is.
John, never in bed with John. What are you talking about? You guys got
golden days.
Separate hotel rooms when you travel.
Yeah.
Oh, John, well, I'm so
you know,
sorry.
I wake up, my sleep patterns are terrible. And then, you know, how many times have you woken up at a different time than the person you're in a hotel room with? And now you guys, like, their only refuge is the bathroom.
Oh, that's
like,
awful. That is an awful feeling.
Oh,
when
just
you're
hate
like,
it.
Boy, we really need that little, what do they call them, a suite where you just have a little area off to the side where you can go. At least I can sit over there and read.
I can read. So now I'm sitting on the top of a toilet or on the counter reading my book or sitting on my laptop. Like, ugh, I hate that. So I just get another hotel room.
Anyway, Dylan Betts, our good Samaritan, driving down the road, sees the house on fire, comes running, and apparently this guy says he tried to make his way through the thick smoke. He was able to open the front door, but the storm door was locked. So I don't know what that means, a storm door.
So why didn't he just push through the storm
door?
Dylan
Betts kicked the door in and saved this guy's life. He was just driving home. You know, we were talking about how you might be J-Lo and you're surrounded by gangsters and you go, I'm just going to leave and not say a thing. That makes more sense to me than seeing a house on fire and not, and like, I better not get involved.
Right.
Like, this guy stopped the car, ran in, saved a life.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Can't believe he had a lot. I mean, a screen doors or a storm doors, fairly flimsy as doors go.
What are they, like screen doors?
They're screen in the summer and they're glass in the winter.
Oh.
You change them out. It's like storm windows, you know?
Oh.
It's the, I don't know. I don't know that they have those in Georgia. Like, maybe this is just a different door and I'm not.
That's, you're right. That's what a storm door is.
I
feel like that's a kickable door.
He grabbed McConnell, he kicked it in. The hero did. He stopped his car, kicked the door in, grabbed McConnell, a man he'd never met, and pulled him out to safety.
Oh, boy.
When asked why he risked his life for a stranger, Dylan Betts said, why not? That's America.
Oh.
America.
America.
Good job, kid.
America. Yeah.
Anyway, so he saved the guy's life, and the guy gave him tickets to the Georgia-Tennessee game last weekend as a token of their appreciation.
Oh. Oh, that's nice.
Big deal. Now they have to focus on rebuilding their home because somebody decided to roll over and go back to sleep instead of, you know, checking on the sound of snack crackling and popping.
What did it turn out to be?
I don't have that.
Did someone put a ball of tinfoil in the microwave?
Something. But for a guy to roll over when he hears the sound of a fire in his house. He's lucky that dude stopped.
He is.
Because that dude could have just as easily been like, I don't want no trouble.
Right. Maybe I'll call 911 and keep rolling. And I just passed the house on fire.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Popping, crackling, and snapping. Sounds like Rice Krispies. Yeah, I know, but I mean, it also could be a fire.
Yeah. In that, popping, snapping, and cracking is fire. Snap, crackle, pop is cereal. It's all about the order.
Oh, did Siri just talk?
Did she?
I thought I heard her.
Yeah, she did just talk. Yeah. I'm literally never talking to you.
Tulare is pronounced Tulare.
Oh, Tulare.
Tulare.
I see.
Monique.
Thank you, Monique.
Tulare County, pronounced Tulare. Okay, I got it this time. Tulare, from now on. I have hobbies, but going to Maui in February to learn how to count whales and help count.
Wow. See, that's a person with a hobby.
I know, that's what I mean. Those are the people who will do something like that. And the ones who have no hobbies will be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't. And honestly, it's all fun. Whatever you're in the mood for. It's your vacation. You should do what you want.
Yeah. Except bitch about being bored.
Do not do
no
that.
No one wants to hear that.
Right.
Cooking school in Italy is great. Fun skillcation. Hi, from Diane.
Hey, Diane.
That does sound fun. It sounds fun. Like, you know, weight gain, like bring elastic pants, but whatever.
Don't worry, I'm going to pack my jeggings. Looks like I have jeans on, but I don't.
Ay, ay, ay. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
The box office and how to get yourself clean back there with your 9-inch fingernails.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.